My name's Jen Yuchin.
And I'm R.E. Fox.
And we're New Gaming News, a bi-weekly podcast and newsletter focused on the esports and gambling industry.
LG Electronics launches their dedicated esports channel called LG Gaming, and you've been seeing this everywhere. I think it started with Geico Gaming. They reference KFC Gaming in this. Everything's gaming. And I wanted to bring this article up because they are... My quote that I grabbed is... LG Gaming will evolve into a new brand with a new visual identity. And I think it's smart for LG to get involved in the esports space because they are a technology company. So they will be producing content and showcasing their products to the tech. But
right.
I wanted to bring this article up as well because I feel like every company is just slapping gaming and esports, trying to appeal to a younger, cooler crowd. And while this one definitely makes sense, there's other ones like KFC Gaming, who I think the same person is leading the initiative. And KFC is non-endemic, obviously, to gaming, and I think it's just trying to appeal to a younger audience. It's not just like mom's dinner. I think they want to be Taco Bell, essentially. It's an interesting move, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Well, you know, and I think this what's happening with a lot of brands is they have to pivot in the market. And how they're doing that is they figure the quickest and the most concrete area, or if you think of different fishing holes, so to speak, the biggest fishing hole to attract millennials and Gen Zers is gaming.
Yeah.
Video gaming. That's the biggest fishing hole. And that's what they're trying to attract. So you're right on the mark there. By placing LG Gaming, all of a sudden now LG is legitimate because they're in the gaming and they're doing video games. The truth of it is that, you know, a lot of other companies have already long been in the video gaming and esports world. Samsung was one of the first in South Korea that did a lot of sponsorship.
And they're heavy in the sponsorship of collegiate events as well. I know Rutgers gets sponsored by them.
Right, but is it LG comes out with a gaming network where they're going to be pushing their product. Does that translate to the gaming community as authentic? Samsung, they're putting their money where their mouth is and saying, I'm supporting this team. I'm, you know, going to give money to it. I'm going to help pay for their electronics. I'm going to help pay for their, I'm going to put a logo on the jersey. And I'm going to pay for that. That's cash money putting out there for marketing. Mm-hmm. And LG just saying, okay, I'm going to create my own network. So,
yeah.
You know,
then it's just another channel thrown on top of all the other streaming crap or whatever it's doing.
Right. So is it going to really resonate when, you know, everyone will say, well, LG is creating their own network because LG wants to show off their stuff. And that's kind of like not cool because I want everyone to be able to share in the esports world. So Twitch is where I'm going to always watch, or I'm going to go to Mixer, or I'm going to go to whatever the mainstream broadcasting network is for esports. And LG starting their own, it's like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, it's a little unclear what it is in the article as well. Is it a streaming service? Is it just content that they're putting on YouTube or whatever? It doesn't really state what they're actually doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, here it's additional features, unique visual elements likely to highlight a selection of the LG electronics and hardware. Now, I got to tell you, I was at the Consumer Electronics Show. I had a few meetings with the LG guys because, you know, I'm trying to get them as a sponsor to come to, to the Casino Esports Conference. Mm-hmm. And they were very receptive to what I was doing. In fact, there was a representative that came to the LG suite. It was at the one of the hotels, and LG had taken like a whole floor of one of the hotels there during CES. And they were pushing. They didn't have a lot. I mean, they mostly have like gaming screens and monitors. They don't have a computer, but they have the monitors, and they're trying to push their monitors more than anything.
Mm.
And I, they were very receptive to coming to the Casino Esports Conference. That's one thing, but whether they wanted to be a sponsor was another. So I don't know exactly. You know, I saw this when you sent this article. I was like, oh, okay, now I understand their marketing ploy.
Just want to push out the awareness without actually investing into the space through the players.
Right, right. So, but I mean, that's still yet to be seen. Eventually, they may try this and say this failed, and then they'll have to do what Samsung did and just compete. Yeah. You know, in the bigger arena.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how I see that situation. But I mean, you know, but a lot of brands, I mean, a lot of mainstream brands, and this is going to happen in the casino industry. Cause I know that when I have my event in September, whether it's virtual or not, there's a big demand now for the casino industry, for brands like LG, for all these other brands, all these companies that have been around 100 years. Panasonic is a big, they've been looking very much at esports because they want to get in, but they don't want to put a lot of money there.
Yeah.
They don't want to overextend themselves and not get their return on their investment. So they're very careful about what they do. This move by LG from the executives that sitting in the major, in the big offices at the LG, at the LG Megaplex, you know, where they have all the big shots that are making billions and billions of dollars a year, they look at it and go, we don't want to go full throttle. We don't want to throw money out. We don't want to do, you know, put money into, you know, prize pools or anything like that.
Mm.
We're just going to play with these guys. We just want to, we'll start an LG gaming thing and see how that runs. But like every old school, every old school industry, from the gambling industry to the electronics industry to even in this next article, we talk about McLaren Racing, which is a name. McLaren is their cars, you know. Yes. The McLaren cars. And McLaren wants it, it's a great way and to connect to, and how they simulate, they're doing simulating sports racing.
Mm-hmm.
With Veloci Esports, and to expand their esports program. But it's a great way to get the McLaren name out to these, you know, these professional esport players, because listen, if McLaren can, if esports keeps growing and, you know, esport players or professional gamers start raking in enormous salaries like the conventional athletes,
McLaren. Maybe they'll pick up a McLaren sports car.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they'll buy a McLaren sports car.
And you know, it says, I mean, that they're trying to like scout out young talent as well for, I guess, racing esports in general.
Right. It's another move from a marketing standpoint to say, you know, well, these are all awesome. McLarens are awesome cars. I mean, I would love to have one. They're like $100,000 car. No, $1 million cars. So they're like very expensive, but you know, that's all in the brand, you know, it's branding. It's all in the name. I mean, it's, you know, why not? Why wouldn't you just get a Ferrari? I mean, but if you have money to burn, like, you know, what's his name? I saw a video a long, long time ago, with the guy who runs Tesla.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk was, he just finished selling, I think, PayPal, which was his creation. And it's an old video, and he's out in his front of his house, and the McLaren is being shipped and coming off the back of the, but you know, I mean, this is McLaren. The McLaren has a name. It has a connection. A lot of people in Silicon Valley drive them. I remember where I was.
That's
there.
That's funny. I've never heard of them.
Yeah, they're very, very expensive sports cars.
Too poor.
Yeah, they're very expensive. Like, I was in San Francisco. Well, I definitely can't afford one. I'm too poor, too. But I was in San Francisco at the Game Developers Conference. And, you know, that's Silicon Valley. And, you know, you're walking around San Francisco because I had to go to this meeting or that meeting or whatever during the GDC. And, you know, you definitely see a McLaren driving down the street in San Francisco, you know, because
some guy. What's cooler, McLaren or Tesla?
Well, McLarens, I don't believe, are, you know, they're not environmentally friendly. So I would have to go with the Tesla.
And they don't drive themselves.
And they do not drive themselves, right? But that, you know, what's the fun? With someone buying a sports car, somebody wants to feel that power, you know, when you're driving it. So that's the idea behind a McLaren. I mean, you could also feel that, I think, with a Tesla, too, because they're working on that as well. But, you know, again, McLaren trying to make a move in esports, trying to gain that demographic.
I wanted to throw this in here because racing is becoming more popular in esports, and I think it's, like, a natural crossover that will actually keep, like, traditional racing bettors. I think it might. I think it's close enough to the real thing where people might stick with it once real sports come back into play.
Well, you know, we're talking. We're
seeing. I can't imagine why is NASCAR and everything like that not happening? It's not like they're close.
Right, but, you know, you're seeing a lot of, again, conventional sports obviously creating that digital version. NBA 2K, Madden,
FIFA. Yeah, but they've been doing that before. Like, they didn't grow as much as I feel like racing has during COVID.
Racing is easy for people who don't understand.
Well, that's my point. That's why I think it's going to, like, really start popping off. I think it might even be more, I don't know if it is now, but it might be more popular than baseball.
Right. Well, for the wagering side,
I have no idea.
Well, it's creating a huge fan base. Racing has an opportunity, at least car racing does. Now, what about this? What happens if we have digital jockeys where they create, I thought about this the other night. What if they have digital horse racing? Like, in other words, the jockeys are now have to wear VR headsets and ride actual simulated electronic, you know.
Yeah, so they would still have to do all the things that they would naturally have to, but just in a different way. Yeah,
right.
That's interesting.
I mean, and it's also good for the horses. You're not abusing the horses.
Yes.
So, I mean.
And it could look badass. You could, like, do it in space.
Yeah, you can. You can have, you know, rocket ship racing.
Yeah.
But my point is that, you know, what you're looking at is an evolution, which is, I think, being driven by the betting industry, wagering industry. Obviously, there's no conventional sports still because of COVID. And now people have to watch something, bet on something that is very familiar to their understanding. And everyone can understand race car driving. Everyone can understand NBA 2K if you follow basketball and Madden. I mean, I've seen Madden tournaments on ESPN. I said about 3 or 4 years ago during one of the casino esport conferences, and I spoke at an event at the ICE London back in last year. I said the first integration of esports wagering and betting will be from conventional digitized sports, which would be Madden, FIFA, car racing, etc. So, I mean, I'm not sitting here and saying I was a prophet, but it's just an obvious...
you saw it coming.
Yeah, it's obvious because it made so much sense. And, you know, that leads us to the next article where the sports information services, which basically just track conventional sports all the time, you know, made a deal with Bet365, which is a wagering
company. They're going to be utilizing this in their live head-to-head esports matches, including the CIS Blitz League, which with NBA 2K.
Right. And that's interesting because talking about... And they made that announcement also at ICE London this past February, which I didn't go to that one this year.
Yeah, well, they said that they were going to do something, but it wasn't, nobody knew what. I think this was, like, their final announcement.
Right, and it's
like
interesting
their final
that...
decision. It says it's been a year since SIS announced its intentions to create an esports betting solution. So
right.
now we get to see what it is.
Yeah, but now SIS is connected with and doing this Blitz League with the NBA 2K. Very interesting again, because I had Jay Moses, as you know, last year at the CEC.
He did.
And he is from Take-Two Media, which owns the rights to the NBA 2K brand. And he didn't, basically all the questions that I had to ask him during that interview at the Esports Arena were vetted by their lawyers, by Take-Two Media. They didn't want me to ask any questions on wagering. Although we did touch on it, but all those questions that I had to ask, I had to forward to their marketing department, their PR department, and their legal team before I even asked those questions. But here we are.
It's because they had this in the works.
What's that?
Do you think it's because they had this in the works? Or do you think... what do you think that is?
I don't know. It's possible that they had this in the works at that time. I don't think it was... I think this only had... Like, CEC was in September of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this could have happened after the new year that they started talking about. I have no idea, but, and maybe they did have it in the works, but, you know, I wasn't allowed to ask them questions about GTA and about the casino in GTA.
Yeah.
We couldn't talk about that because that was a big headline thing. But it's funny now how you see Take-Two Media making this announcement with them, you know, about SIS and about, you know, Bet365 being and wagering on NBA 2K.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? It looks like the cat's out of the bag when it comes to the esports wagering. Slowly.
Like everybody's getting on board.
Right. It's happening, but it's still happening. I mean, it's happening a lot quicker because of COVID.
Yeah.
And there's no
like,
conventional
sports.
Like, okay,
let's pull the trigger on everything now.
Yeah, of course, because why not? These people have nothing else.
They're probably thinking, what was holding us back before?
Well, what was holding them back before, and you know this because you were at CEC last year, was that they had a lot of trouble with you know, trusting that nobody was cheating.
Yeah.
You know, that the match fixing was a real...
Which still seems like it's an issue.
It is an issue, but you know, that's, you're going to have that in any competitive sport. Yeah. You even have that in professional sports. You know, I could make the same argument about the Houston Astros last year who were stealing signs during the World Series. You know, everyone knows that story. That was a big story. But, you know, it was quickly quelled by the Major League Baseball.
Coincidence that everybody went to CEC last year and now esports betting is booming? I think not.
Yeah. and then there's the other thing. Remember Inflategate with Tom Brady?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Okay, so
he was deflating the balls?
Yeah. I don't know, but listen, there's all kinds of things that happen.
Yeah.
All the time, you can't. But what we've had to try to convince the gambling industry and the bookies is that it's actually easier to catch people betting in esports. Throwing
you're
a match.
You're literally tracking it.
Yeah, because you're literally tracking it. Everything has a digital footprint,
mm-hmm.
And it's very, very hard for a professional gamer to be able. They really have to be some type of hacker. They have to not only be a professional gamer, but they also have to be some type of hacker.
Yeah, or to
get away with it. There's just no way they can possibly get away with it. It's too easy. So anyway, but that's, you know, this is now going into the next article where, you know, Betway is to sponsor DreamHack. Interestingly enough, Masters, it's DreamHack Masters in spring. You know, again, working with ESIC.
It seems that Betway has been involved in a lot of these different tournaments for a while. I think it's nice that it's continuing to grow and embracing betting brands and things like that. Like, I just like seeing it happen.
Yeah, well, ESIC is definitely the one leading the pack when it comes to regulating professionally played esports. And it's great to see. I mean, I know Ian Smith, he's the head of ESIC. You know, and then, you know, you're getting, you know, Betway's establishing major prominent bookmakers in esports. That's helping. It's basically happening where the bookmakers and all these guys that were doing the wagering on regular sports had to pivot and then move to esports. And they were forced to learn it. They didn't want to learn it. They didn't want to be involved in it. But now they're trying. Now they're getting all the stats on all these pro games.
Yeah, it's even like online schooling. Like nobody wanted to do it, and now they're like, "Oh wow, this is so good."
And I mean, Betway's even now a sponsor now. You know, they're sponsoring organizers like ESL. You know, and Ninja in Pajamas and some of the teams. So it's pretty interesting what's going on with now wagering and video gaming. When 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when I started the Casino Esport Conference, the esports and video gaming industry wanted nothing to do with gambling at all.
Yeah. And in September, they were all weary still.
Yeah. Even just only a few months ago. I think what's happening is they're seeing numbers, seeing a lot of people betting on it, and they're seeing how they can, you know, basically maybe make some revenue from it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
I hope that, especially what you brought up before, I hope that the physical casinos begin to embrace, like, esports books and have their own section eventually.
Well, I mean, it's funny because in the final article that we're talking about,
you know, it talks about esports fans spoiled.
Esports fans being spoiled. But, I mean, you know, you have no other choice but to cater to them because of the massive numbers of esport yeah. enthusiasts
they're
and video
much going
game
to
enthusiasts.
Say that esports fans are spoiled because they get to watch everything for free, and that's why a lot of the esports industry is not making money, which you've mentioned pay-per-view before. They're comparing it to real sports and just saying how, like, with Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all of your entertainment is free, so it does also make sense that your esports is free. It's not chained up like traditional sports, like with having its own station or being pay-per-view.
Right. And then, you know, Andy Miller, who I've actually had conversation with on the phone from NRG Esports, you know, he also owns the Sacramento Kings. You know, he had a lot to say about, you know, he says you cannot compare esports to regular sports. And he does say there are similarities that you can pull out from conventional sports and how they run it, but he agrees from what I've said on the podcast before that esports is a completely different animal. And like you just mentioned, esports is definitely and will have to have its own bookmaking and its own space.
Yeah,
I really don't think you can put an esports book inside of a sports book. It's a very, very different thing. And it's just, I think it's a lot more fun to watch, I think, than regular conventional sports. And I think the people that are enthusiastic about it aren't just going to be in the area to bet on esports. They also want something else to do besides. They're not going to sit there. They'll watch the screen.
They're not going
to
sit there and watch it.
Right. You need to be able to let them play video games and let them mess around and have an area where it's just
even
like,
it's like pool tables or whatever.
Anything regarding games. Even it could be table games.
Yeah.
You know, it could be Legends of Catan. I mean, it really doesn't matter, whatever it is.
Yeah, they'll play it. They really will. You're so right.
Where the casino at this point can not only make money on, but also can make money on food and beverage. So there's going to be a lot of changes post-COVID, post-pandemic, because the casinos understand, I believe they are beginning to understand, that just like LG that we started in the beginning knows that the biggest pond and pool of millennials and Gen Zers is in the video gaming world, the casinos also understand that, and they are desperately going to need that next generation to walk through the doors of their brick-and-mortar places. Yeah. So they're going to have to build their online content in video gaming. And then they're going to have to be able to bring people in through building that online content back into the brick and mortar.
Yeah.
It's the only option they have. they don't really have any more options because, I mean, sad to say, extremely sad to say, COVID killed a lot of old people.
Yeah.
And those are the people that go to the casino. You know, it's a shame, but you know, this is a sad thing, you know. And with video gaming and millennials and Gen Zers are like looking at a casino and they look at it as, that's where my grandmother goes and has mm-hmm. a good time. That's where my parents go and have a good time, not me.
But yeah, maybe we have go to the club.
Right. That's it. They got nothing else. And that's, it can't just be that. It has to be a fully engaged, immersive entertainment experience. And that's what we're trying to, that's what, you know, that's why we do a lot of times what I talk about on this podcast is how not just the casino industry has to move forward, but
everybody
does to in order to engage the audience and the younger audience. You know, I don't know anyone. It's very rare that I'll come across someone who's in their mid-20s or early 30s and they've not played a video game.
Yeah.
It's very rare. And I do. I do come across people like that. But, you know, it's not for everybody. But the majority is that somewhere, some along line,
even if it's whether Candy Crush.
Whether they're female or male, they've played a video game.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just our culture now. It just is.
Yeah, it's the culture. It's how you reach. That's how you reach the audience. And
even Netflix is doing like interactive like videos. Right. That's video games.
You know, you look at also the movie industry, Hollywood. You know, the only thing that they've been keeping them alive over these last few years are these superhero movies.
Yeah, you're so right.
It's the only thing. I mean, they have had some really good films that have come out. And I have enjoyed some really good films with excellent messages. But you know what? I mean, I sit down sometimes with my girlfriend's daughter. And, you know, she can't sit through a movie that's more than an hour and a half.
Yeah. They just don't want to commit the time.
Nah, they can't. It's just, you know, they got too much other stuff to do.
Yeah, I've thought that too.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's sort of a conundrum that the movie industry finds themselves. How do we engage our audience moving forward? Who even knows if there's going to be a movie theater after post-pandemic? We don't even know. They could all go out of business.
You're right.
So what do they do? How do they pivot?
Big hits are being released even digitally. I guess it's early.
Right. So we're looking at a very different world. Esports is leading the pack when it comes to competitive video gameplay. Video gaming as a whole for enthusiasts is the way to engage and entertain the next generation and how we're going to look at entertainment from a very different perspective. More virtual reality will be around, more AR, augmented reality, all this interactive, fun, exciting, really cool stuff. You'll be able to, you know, play, you know, some kind of laser game, you know, and make believe you're part of the Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
But that's where we're going with this. And
I agree.
And it's an exciting time. I think, you know, right now, unfortunately, that, you know, COVID has gotten a lot of people down. But you know what?
But otherwise, it's the best time to be alive.
It is. I think, you know, we're really looking at Ready Player One, which is the movie that Spielberg came out with, that it's going to, but many different facets. You know, that was just one facet. But I think overall, and hopefully we won't be in an apocalypse where we're like living in like a tin can that's piled on top of each other.
Fallout.
In like these shanty towns.
Mm, let us hope
like
not.
In Fallout. Yeah.